Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw. Count out the show where we count things down. And in honor of this past week, the conclusion to the Mae Young Classic, we're going to count down the top 10
standout performances.
Yeah, that's right. In the Mae Young Classic. This list obviously will not include Marty Bell, who I finally watched that match with her and Rachel
Evers.
And man, when you can literally see the referee say, "Hey, we're changing the finish. You're going to get a roll-up victory. Hey, I'm sorry, dude, but they're not huge on you right now. Okay. Okay, kick out right now. Okay, now roll her up good." Anyways, number 10.
10.
Mercedes Martinez.
So she's been around for a while. I think they said she's a 16-year veteran. Yeah. And especially during her semifinal match against Shayna Baszler, she was delivering some stiff shots.
There are several things that I really, really loved about Mercedes Martinez. Number one, first and foremost, you need this. I'll never forget, this is what Regal says all the time that Triple H asks for. Somebody who looks like they can kick somebody's butt. Somebody who looks tough. She has, in my opinion, the most, well, with the exception of one person maybe, the most legitimate look.
Yeah.
All those tattoos.
Yeah.
She's a little old. She's like, you know, and so she has like age on her face.
Yeah, yeah, which is she's great. Experience on her face.
She has experience on her face, but she looks amazing. You can't fake life experience on somebody's face. You can't fake that.
Yeah.
And Mercedes Martinez has that. I think she has a spectacular look.
Yeah, she carries herself with confidence.
Exactly.
And she oozes charisma.
She's somebody you would not want to get into a fight with.
Yeah, because the shots she was delivering during her matches were stiff. Like, her chops especially were loud. They were thunderous.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I thought in her match against Shayna Baszler, she was the more consistently believable striker. But we'll get to that more during the Shayna Baszler entry.
So her ring style, like you said, it's strike heavy, and so she can afford to be a bit, not as polished maybe in terms of the smoothness of her action, which I kind of noticed. She doesn't have the most smoothest of actions. However, that doesn't matter because she just comes off like a badass, and sometimes you want things to look not smooth.
Yeah.
And that's what she brings.
It all depends on the wrestler's style. Yeah. If they're supposed to be like a Zack Sabre Jr., you need to be smooth.
Yeah.
But if you're a striker or a brawler, being too smooth can counter what your character is supposed to be.
Yeah. And somebody who's been around the business that long, you'll probably get a really good quality locker room presence.
Yes.
And that's what you want, especially with some of these signees or potential signees that are fairly young.
Yeah.
You want somebody sort of guiding them along the right way, keeping them humble.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Number nine.
Nine.
Abby Lathe.
Abby Lathe, I think, has been developmental for a little bit. Mm-hmm. She was Kimberly in the Indies.
Yeah.
She wrestled a couple times under her real name in NXT. It's Kimberly. I can't remember her last name.
Kimberly. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. But her matches were all really good.
Yeah.
She put on a really good match in the first round against
Jazzy Gabert.
Yeah. That was a really good match and really helped Jazzy get over with the crowd.
Oh, big time. Yeah. That's what I noticed immediately about Abby Lathe is that, you know, there was varying degrees of, like I said earlier, polish. You know, you can tell with how somebody moves in the ring, how smooth they are, how quickly they can improvise, the language that they speak in the ring. You can tell some people more fluent, to advance the metaphor. Abby Lathe has all that. Super polished.
Yes.
Has a great look. When they did her little behind the scenes thing, she's also very, very comfortable in front of a camera, on the mic. Her personality does not seem prefabricated at all. Abby Lathe seems like the kind of wrestler who you can put in the ring with anybody else, veteran or rookie, and she can carry them to a serviceable match. Her storytelling skills
are
really
good. There's a term for that. She's a mechanic.
She's a mechanic. There you go. She could debut as Abby Lathe the Ringmaster.
There you go. Solid gimmick there. They were talking about her her ballet background, which explained her smoothness in the ring and her quality footwork.
Yeah, she did, dude. And like you mentioned this at the top of the entry, getting Jazzy Gabert over, she was selling the living crap out of those strikes from Jazzy Gabert. I keep on saying Gabert. I think it's Gabert. Jazzy Gabert. Anyways, Abby Lath, she was selling the crap out of Jazzy and made Jazzy look like $1 million. That crowd was super into it. And they wouldn't have been had she not been up there with an Abby Lath type opponent who really knew what she was doing.
Yes.
In the ring. She has a great look. I think she was fantastic.
Agreed. And she put on a really good match against Mercedes Martinez in the quarterfinals, too. That was solid.
Yeah. Number eight.
Eight.
Dakota Kai.
Dakota Kai put on a couple of really good matches. She moves really well. She's super athletic. Super fast in the ring. She has wrestled in Australia, won championships there. She was a tag team championship and Stardom in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And just the work she was doing during her matches, I was really, really, really impressed with.
Yeah. No, me too. She has a great look. Like you said, extremely comfortable on the mic, extremely comfortable in front of cameras. And she's got like just boatloads of that odd, unnatural charisma that you just can't find anywhere. You know, like as soon as you see her picture, you're like, oh, wow, this person has a magnetic, you know, thing going on.
Did you watch her, her quarterfinal match against Kairi Sane?
I think, did I? I forget. I don't know.
I feel like because the first round match she had, she was definitely working face.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like against Kairi Sane, she was kind of working more heel. And it seemed like either she was doing a magnificent job of selling a knee injury or she actually hurt her knee.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that.
Okay. It was a really good match.
Yeah. I got to check that out.
Yeah. But yeah, she really stood out. You said her charisma, her in-ring ability, her athleticism.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing more from her in NXT.
Yeah, given how many people are signed.
I know. It seemed like almost half the field, right?
I know. I know. It was a lot. Number seven.
Seven.
Jazzy Gabert. So the crowd was huge. Huge for her. And she was the one kind of like Cedric Alexander at Cruiserweight Classic. The crowd started chanting at Triple H to sign Jazzy. And he said, look, if you guys keep doing this is losing me money. It's costing me money.
I know.
Well, you cheap bastard.
Do you know what Jazzy Gabbert's name in Europe is?
The Alpha Female.
Alpha Female.
That's great. I know. That's awesome. They're referencing that on the broadcast. Anyway, so she's not the most polished wrestler in the world, but she doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
She does come off like she could be the female version of Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how people are reacting to her. The faces she makes in the ring are great.
I know.
They're fantastic. And her strikes come off as so legitimate, like in terms of a big man pro wrestler, you know what I mean? Or a big woman, whatever you want to say. Her look is fantastic. She looks amazing. Like you can't take your eyes off of that crazy mohawk.
But then she also has a ton of charisma. You can't take your eyes off her, not because of her unique look, but also the presence she has in the ring.
Yeah, totally. It's absolutely understandable why that crowd, she woke that crowd up in that match against Abby Lath in the first round. They really marked out for her.
Did you watch the six-woman tag match?
No.
I didn't get a chance to see it either.
Yeah,
I want to check it out, though.
I didn't see it. So, yeah, she's going to be... I don't think they signed her.
Not yet,
but it seems like it's... Meltzer and the Observer speculated that they didn't bring her into the finals because they didn't want her overshadowing. Because she was the standout. Like, the name that people were buzzing about was Jazzy Gabert.
Yeah.
So, that's fantastic. Number six.
Six.
Candice LeRae.
I mean, Candice has been around seemingly forever on the indies, wrestling in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, all over the place. So it's not a surprise that she would be, given her experience and her already decorated career, that she would be a standout in this tournament. Nonetheless, did you watch her match against Shayna Baszler?
No. I watched her. I watched all the first round and a little bit of the second round.
It's not very long.
Yeah.
But it felt like a vast majority of that match, Candice was on the offensive, and the pace was so fast.
Yeah.
She did this great suicide dive, DDT, the outside. Fantastic.
Look, man, all I got to see of Candice LeRae is her tag match with Joey Ryan against the Young Bucks and PWG when she got the Crimson Mask. That was amazing. And then Cody Rhodes, in an interview just recently, said there are two people that he's been with in the wrestling ring with whose strength literally scared him because they could do whatever they want with him. And one of those people was Candice LeRae.
Really?
Yeah.
That
put her over
crazy.
Big time. So like you said, she's been on the indie circuit for 15 years, I think they said. And, you know, absolutely, just one of a kind. So,
I like that the crowd was chanting, during her semifinal or quarterfinal match.
Mm-hmm.
Candice wrestling.
Oh, they were doing that in the first round.
Yeah,
too.
It was
great. That was fantastic. I know.
It was really good. You will like her finisher because it's a second rope.
Neck breaker. Swinging neck breaker. I know. I saw that. That was fantastic.
Called Miss LeRae's Wild Ride. Reference to Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. One of my favorite Disneyland rides.
There you go. Fantastic. Did they dole out neck breakers on the Mr. Toad's Wild
Not
Ride?
Not aware of.
Maybe these days. So yeah, I mean, come on. It's
Candice LeRae. She's great.
They have to sign her. Like you and I haven't been the most up to date on women's wrestling. This has educated us a lot, a lot of these great names, which is awesome. But when the tournament was announced, that was the name that we always were like, oh, we know who she is.
Yeah.
So, she needs to be in the tournament. Sure enough, she was. And she went to the semis.
Quarters.
She went to the quarters.
Lost to Shayna Baszler in the quarters.
Oh, Toni Storm was, Toni Storm. Okay. Number five.
Five.
Piper Niven.
I think the most fun match in my mind the entire tournament was her first round match against Santana Garrett.
That match
was so much fun.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a ton of fun. To see Santana Garrett try to figure out how to deal with Piper Niven, and I say this in the most complimentary way, a hoss wrestler. And she's so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. The things she could do at that size are really impressive. Tons of charisma.
Then you need to watch her match against Toni Storm.
Can't wait to see that. I know, because they're like best friends. I really want to see that.
They pull out all the stops.
It's great. Yeah, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. I got to see that.
But yeah, the moves that Piper Niven was doing mm-hmm. were incredible. The storytelling ability, the charisma, the character work.
Yeah.
She was at the finals,
mm-hmm.
Sitting ringside. It seems like WWE would like to sign her.
Yeah.
We'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
I guess depends on her contract situation over in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was great.
Yeah. No,
really
she's
good.
Fantastic. Can't wait to see more of her. Number four.
Four.
Bianca Belair. So she's only been doing this for
a year.
And my goodness, she is fantastic. Now, there was a buzz about her on the NXT Florida House Show loop when she made her debut there. And it's only grown because of the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
She is fantastic. She's a former track star, I think, right?
Yeah.
That hair whipping thing is never going to get old.
No. I think her general presence, her character mm-hmm. work is really strong now.
The saunter she has when she comes to the
ring. Oh, the slow spin. Oh, that's so good.
I know, it's so good.
And she's really athletic.
I know.
She's strong.
Yeah.
Give her another year and she is going to be awesome.
Like somebody who can just take their time and understand. It's like she's sauntering out. Understanding her worth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe that I get from her.
Yeah.
And it's real. I imagine it would be so difficult to do that at this young of an age in terms of her career. How old is she?
28.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah, and so, yeah, I think she's going to have a huge, huge career.
Yeah, me too. She's already fantastic, and give her another 6 months to a year.
Oh yeah, big
she's time. Gonna be a huge, huge, huge star.
Absolutely. Number three.
Three.
Shayna Baszler. You know, for somebody who is not the most experienced,
mm-mm.
for somebody
in professional wrestling.
That's what I mean. In professional wrestling.
That's what I specify because she has tons of experience
in
the fight world.
Yeah, but this is a whole different world. For somebody who has to face the pressure of being Ronda Rousey's friend, because that comes with a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
For somebody who nobody really picked to win this or to go as far as she did, she carried herself like a star the entire time. She carried herself like somebody who deserved to be in the finals. And it is super impressive. Why are you're looking?
I'm reading up about her start. She's only been wrestling for 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
And one of her trainers was Mercedes Martinez.
Oh, okay.
I know they mentioned
sense.
Josh Barnett as far as her pro wrestling training.
Yeah, okay.
Her in-ring work's a little uneven. Some of her striking is really good.
She's figuring out. Here's the thing.
She's figuring out how to pull her punches, it seems like. That's the thing. You know, she goes from wanting to legit punch people to make it look like she's punching people.
Right, exactly.
And I understand there's going to be some difficulty in, unlearning that muscle memory and relearning or learning new muscle memory. I get all that. But you can definitely see the potential there. Her finisher is great. The first time she did it against Zeta in her first match, it was so fast.
I had to rewind it a couple times.
I know. It's so fast. The transition from that suplex type move into the rear naked choke is so fast, so smooth. And when she... when she does connect on her striking, it's good. In the finals match against Kairi Sane, there's this one sequence where she delivered a stiff kick to the head and knocked Kairi out of the ring, and then Baszler gets on the apron and does like a kind of like a jogging kick. And that one looked like she just tapped her with the point of her toe. It's like if she can get that stuff tighter, she can really go places. I feel like and The integration of her MMA work with the kind of the Billy Robinson English style of wrestling isn't she hasn't really quite figured that out yet. But I mean, like when you have people like Pete Dunne or Zack Sabre Jr. doing that kind of joint manipulation, how crisp and smooth and meticulous they are. Granted, she's only been doing it for 2 years, so she doesn't have the experience that they have in terms of working that style. But the MMA stuff looks good.
Well, and also, you know, there is definitely, look at Brock Lesnar, there's something to be said for legitimacy in your your MMA career, and she's what is she, 15 and 11, you know, she's been around in whatever the octagon other, I guess
other shapes whatever.
In the fight business.
There you go.
And so, you know, she looks like a fighter. She looks, out of everybody here, she looks like a fighter. And that will take you so far because these days, you know, we want, you know, we appreciate legitimacy with people who come in and, you know, she, you know, Ronda Rousey might have a match or two. Shayna Baszler looks like she is in it to win it. And I'm really fascinated to see.
I don't think she is signed yet, but I'd be very surprised. Obviously with the whole horsewoman versus horsewoman angle that's kind of percolating in WWE. I would be absolutely shocked if she didn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think there might be some crossover issues between her and Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, the packaging's different
mm-hmm.
in terms of their presentation.
Yeah.
But with the mutual MMA backgrounds, I kind of worry there might be some problems there. But I'm sure they can find a way around it, assuming that she goes to NXT, which is where she should go.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that front. I hope they can get that figured out because you can't really have Sonya Deville run around doing the same thing that, because obviously Shayna Baszler is going to be kind of the priority, you know? So, hopefully they'll figure that out.
Yeah, I hope so.
Number two, Toni Storm. Oh, I love me some Toni
Storm. She is fantastic.
She's only 21.
I know.
She's only 21. Now, Rhea Ripley, she's 20.
She's 20.
20.
Yeah.
But Toni Storm is so polished.
I know.
And literally 3 years ago, she was graduating high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or 4 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
Now, we were first introduced to Toni Storm WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, we got
a progress show.
Yeah.
Immediately impressed with her ring abilities.
Immediately
the match
standout.
Against Ginny.
Ginny, yeah.
Really good match.
Mm-hmm.
She was great.
Mm-hmm.
And along with Candice LeRae, I think she was one of the names that we were like, okay, hopefully she's in this.
Especially after that, we were like, oh, yeah, she's
hopefully Toni Storm's in it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she was. And like every one of her matches was tons of fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just top to bottom, just fun
and
stuff.
And talk about somebody who at the age of 21 looks like they've been pro wrestling for 20 years, dude.
Yeah.
Her, like, talk about being smooth in the ring. Talk about understanding the language of pro wrestling.
Talk about doing quality character work.
Yeah. All of that. Pieced together at the age of 21. That's insane. Now, according to Meltzer, she's not yet signed. That was sort of my biggest bum out thing. But again, you don't know what the contract status
is. Well, again, she wrestles a lot in Japan.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
For Stardom, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I think she's still working for Progress. So who knows what her contract situation is going to be like going forward.
Right.
But yeah, it'd be great if we saw her in NXT or on the main roster. She's ready for main now.
Again, she's only 21. So, you know, in the year 2027, she'll still only be 31.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like 10 years from now, she will still be able, you know, she'll still be
in her prime.
Anytime now they can sign her still, you know, like, so there's plenty of time for Tony Storm.
You really need to watch the Tony Storm Piper Niven match.
Oh, I know. I'm gonna
the whole opening sequence is just like a game of one-upsmanship, and it's so good.
Oh, I gotta watch it.
It's so good.
I gotta watch it. And then, you know, when she was on the mic, when she was doing those interviews, like she's so charismatic. Mm-hmm. Like, I love her. Anyways, number one, Kairi Sane.
Yeah, she won the whole thing.
She won the whole damn thing. So obviously, and you know, people knew about the insane elbow coming in. That's the buzz that was generated about Kairi Sane. What was her name before? What was her name before Kairi Sane?
Hojo.
Yeah,
Hojo.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype going into the tournament about her.
Because, right.
You know, I think in terms of international accomplishments,
Kairi Hojo. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, she was top of the charts.
Yeah.
In terms of the experience of everyone else in this tournament, and as you said, a lot of that had to do with her elbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd seen GIFs on Twitter and such of her dropping that awesome top rope elbow.
Yeah.
And I like her first round match against Tessa Blanchard. Tessa Blanchard could have easily made this list. She was
for
great.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That first
yeah.
round match was great.
Yeah, it was. And kind of stunning that they had Tessa Blanchard match up with her in the first round. But I kind of feel like they wanted
to showcase Kairi as much as possible. That's why they had her in an awesome first round match. She main evented every episode she was in.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
seemed pretty obvious that she A was winning this whole thing, and B they really, really wanted to showcase her because they have a lot of high hopes for her.
Right.
Her match against Tessa Blanchard was great. Match against Dakota Kai was great. Her match against Toni Storm was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The finals match itself was okay. It was good. But I like that they really focused on a very simple but well told story.
Yeah.
Where Shayna Baszler was working over Kyrie's arm, her mm-hmm. elbow that she uses for the elbow drop, and Kyrie was working over Shayna Baszler's ribs.
Yeah.
To take, you know, work that body part, drop the elbow on it, pick up the win, which is ultimately what happened.
Yeah. No, I thought she was absolutely fantastic. The crowd, she had the crowd eaten out of the palm of her hand. And I'm really excited. I mean, the thing is, you know, because of Asuka's dominance in the NXT women's division, you know, we've often said Asuka's reign came during a time when the women's division, you know, when you lose the four horsewomen, you know, there's going to be a giant gap there. Yeah. And Asuka filled that gap while they reloaded. And now you've got a bunch of quality women there in the NXT division, and you've got a bunch of people who are being signed here or in the NXT women's division rather. And you got a bunch of new signees, and it'll be really interesting to see the different matchups that Kairi Sane will have against not just the women in NXT, but the people that NXT are bringing over that, you know, we saw in the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah. I told you to watch Toni Storm versus Piper Niven. Also watch Toni Storm versus Kairi Sane.
I know. I really want
to
see
a lot of really good mat wrestling to start.
Yeah.
And then there's a spot where Kairi does a cross body at the top rope and her face hits directly on the ramp.
Oh yeah.
And she gets up and she has imprints of the ramp on her face.
Yeah.
Doesn't bat an eye.
That's fantastic. Can't wait to see that. Yeah, no, I'm going to catch up. I caught up on the first four episodes yesterday, and then I'm going to finish them off today or tonight. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And let us know what you guys think in the comments. Any other standouts that you guys can think of, by all means, let us know.
Yes, please.
And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.